No sponge cake? You ain't never had it this good. No coffee cake? And that hurt. We'll see how he handles it. We're never going to be here again, gentlemen. We might as well enjoy it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Buccaneers fans, here he is, episode 2 of this week, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton himself, Uncle Ira, the king of Pasco County, and the king of Newport Richey. Wow, Ira, we are fired up for today's podcast. Lots on the table, and I can't wait to ask you my 5 prepared questions about your visit with Bucko Bruce Arians the other night at his house, which is quite comical to start with. But Sage, the podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, your official Roush Performance parts dealer. How about that? There's a twist for you in case you need parts for your Mustang Roush or you just want to buy a new one. But Bill Curry Ford is a Tampa tradition for 60-plus years. Amazing offers going on that all expire at the end of the month, so you want to get out there this weekend. And the man to talk to is Sean Sullivan, the general manager, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. Now he's a C-minus celebrity in town, Ira, approaching your C-level status. And, you know, there's just all kinds of amazing deals going on, 0% financing offers for 72 months. Get to BillCurryFord.com and check it all out. And we're fired up for our draft party. Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater, 49th Street. Outdoors, 3,300 square feet. Beautiful covered patio. Indoors, beautiful tap room. Florida's best craft beer. Amazing food. April 29th, opening night of the draft. Sage rolls in at 7 o'clock sharp. He's there till it's over. Who knows when that's going to be. It's going to be a great time. And we got more information about that. But Ira, how are you? We want to know how you're feeling, what you're going to be doing this weekend, and then I've got my 5 questions for you about your sit-down at Bruce Arians' house.
Well, I'm feeling fantastic, Steve, because I just got on a scale, down 3 pounds, started the diet on Monday, 4 or 5 days in, down 3 pounds. I like the sound of that equation, Mr. Isbitz. I was good in math. You know, look, I'm not trying to lose 20 pounds in 10 days. I'm trying to lose a pound or two a week. I'd be very happy. I got a goal in mind. I'm not going to tell it to our listeners because they know what I look like and they'll say that's not enough of a goal. But I'm feeling very good because, boy, the Bucs have the best team in football, gentlemen. I don't really think it's sunk in. I really don't think it's sunk in. The most complete team, the best team in football. You know, by the end of the 2002 season, the Bucs were the best team in football, but they weren't necessarily a totally complete team. I mean, you know, Kenyatta Walker was starting on the offensive line. I don't think I need to say anything more. You know, they had an all-time defense. They had a historic defense. You know, but the running game was okay. The receivers were good, not great. You know, Ken Dilger was the tight end. Brad Johnson was the quarterback. It was a tremendous defense. This is a tremendous team. As I wrote the other day, Steve, and you put it out and read it, what a luxury for Jason Light. I think they're going to move back, Lee. We shall see. The one thing that would stun me the most, I think it would send me off my diet, Lee, which is saying a lot, is if they put some kind of stupid package together and move up to the number 11 spot for one particular player. I mean, Lee, who's going to crack this lineup? Maybe some kind of cornerback that's got to be extraordinary as a rookie that could beat out, Murphy Bunting or Dean. I mean, what else is there? Is somebody going to start ahead of Vita Vea? You know, is somebody going to start ahead of Ali Marpet? So what are we talking about here? This is one hell of a team, and I'm in one hell of a good mood, DeKemper.
Well, I am too, Ira. First off, I'm happy to hear that you broke bread with Bruce Arians. That's cool as hell to hear about. But I'll tell you another reason why I'm happy. I'm happy because I have cracked open my first beer of the weekend, and it happens to be a Big Storm Bromosa beer.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That will make anyone happy.
The powerful Bromosa should be interesting by the end of this podcast. 7% alcohol in there, the tangerine IPA. If Lee polishes off a can, we might have some fireworks at the end here. But
we might have Lee declaring Ronald Jones the best back in football by the end of this podcast over here.
Hey, Ira, wait a minute. Ira, important question. The fans want to know, do you need a new 9-volt battery for your scale?
You know, Steve, I'm glad you mentioned that because I couldn't believe what it read. I couldn't believe that I was down 3 pounds because usually I'm up 3 pounds on these diets. And so I looked at the little arrow at the bottom, you know, that goes up and down. And I made sure it started on zero, Lee. I made sure it started on zero.
And, not five, negative five?
And not negative five. And I checked three different times, and I stepped 1 foot on it to reset it. Gentlemen, the facts are the facts. Kaufman minus three. I mean, it sounds like a buck spread against the Chiefs next year. Kaufman minus three.
Very well done, Ira. If you can drop nine by the draft party, you'll throw back 5.5. Yeah, everything's good. You just go on your way into May. There you go.
You know, that's a great point, Steve. That's what's driving me, is because I got to get it down, maybe double digits, maybe, by the draft party on the 29th. And it's going to be a blast. And then, you know what, Lee? At that point, I'm going to feel liberated, just like Jason Light going into the draft. Liberated that I can chow down on a Reuben, a Kolsch, and whatever else wants to come my way, Lee.
Steve, don't you say you have five questions for Ira?
Yeah, I'm ready to go here. So, Sage, let me set the stage here for fans. You call us up. You say, I'm canceling the Thursday taping of the podcast. I'm going to Bruce Arians' house. I'm like, Ira, well, you know, so you drop something off, you know, or you take a picture from his front lawn, you come back. And no big deal. And you say, no, I'm spending the night, hanging there all night, driving home late. Okay. So, Ira, here's five questions for you. First, is it true, though? Is it true that you spent a couple hours at Bruce Arians' house last night on a special project?
That is absolutely true.
Did Arians give you access to his refrigerator?
Absolutely false.
Did he offer you a cannoli or a piece of chocolate cake?
He did not, but I understood it because Mr. Arians has begun a diet to coincide with my diet. He was sipping a drink. I didn't look to see what the hell was in that glass, but I can only assume. But he didn't have any Dove chocolates next to him, no sponge cake, no coffee cake. Steve, I thought about what to bring. You know, you can't show up at a man's front door without bringing anything. And I found a book about a beautiful coffee table book that the NFL sent me about Super Bowls. I didn't know if he had it or not. I brought it with me. I shoved it across the table. I said, this is for you, Coach. He goes, wow. Does it have our Super Bowl in it? I said, no, it came out 4 years ago, but you'll love it. He doesn't have it. So a little light reading for Bruce Arians.
All right. So now we learn that Ira's a re-gifter and spent the big bucks on a freebie that he got from the NFL and gave it to Bruce Arians. Got it. But I think that's only fair, Ira. Shame on Bruce for not giving you a piece of chocolate cake. We've all seen you eat the brownie before. That's a classic photograph. Might have to circulate that again.
Now, wait a minute, Steve. I didn't think about this, but I got an extra copy of the Super Bowl DVD, you know, by NFL Films. Gave our good friend Dr. Wink, the oncologist. He's got a copy, but I have another copy extra. I thought about bringing it to Arians, but I said, the coach of the Bucks has to have the DVD of the Super Bowl. While I was sitting down, his wife was there, lovely Christine, and I said, Chris, you've seen the Super Bowl DVD. No, we haven't seen it yet. What? I almost drove an hour back to the house to get the DVD and bring it to the Arians, but I didn't do it. But I am here to report that he has not seen the official Buck Super Bowl 2020 season DVD. I'm a little shocked at that, gentlemen. Shocked.
You know what? When he does see it, I bet he cries.
He could. He cried over some of my questions last night.
Well, you already revealed the DVD thing, so I guess my next question was, my question's sort of irrelevant, I guess, now, but my next question was, Ira, are you planning to share any of this juicy off-the-record information you learned last night on the podcast?
Well, a lot of it was on the record, funny enough, because, Steve, I think it's only fair that I reveal that there's a big book that is coming out. I mean, a big one. And it's by Lars Anderson, and he's the guy that wrote The Quarterback Whisperer with Bruce Arians. He's written 12 books. He was at Sports Illustrated for 20 years. He did mostly motorsports and college football. And somehow he got involved with Arians. They wrote that book together, and they're writing another one. I mean, this is big time. HarperCollins is the publisher. Anderson is under incredible deadline pressure, guys. He's got 18 months normally to do a book. Here, he's got about 2 or 3 months to do a book. And, of course, they don't want it out, Lee, you know, in October. I mean, that's irrelevant. They want it out in, you know, July. And
interesting.
But Lars is gracious enough, and, you know, Arians told Lars Anderson, hey, I want Kaufman to have a little part of this book. Now give him a little something. Give him a taste. And
for the effort.
Yeah, for the effort. So Lars Anderson said, Ira, you should, you know, Bruce is doing the forward to the book, and I want you to sit down with Bruce for an extended period and write the forward in his voice, in the voice of Bruce Arians. So that's what I did. And, you know, he's been so busy. You can imagine Bruce Arians been so busy. He's been in and out of Tampa, been back to the lake house in Georgia. And so now he's coming in for this weekend. The golf tournament is Monday. There's a dinner at Innisbrook on Sunday night. So he asked me if I could come over, blocked off a couple hours for me. His son was there. Son's wife was there. Some other people. It was fascinating. I mean, I hadn't seen the guy in over a year. So just, you know, that was satisfying just to see the guy rather than a Zoom meeting. And by the way, guys, and you know this, he said he hates freaking Zoom meetings. Hates it. Doesn't want to do them in terms of the Bucs. Doesn't want to do Zoom meetings. And certainly doesn't want to do them with the media. You know, he gave me a couple hours. You know, I brought in my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I got there a little early, went to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm always stuck behind a car that's getting like 14 lattes. I don't understand what's going on there. You know, you go in. I'm in there 30 seconds. You know, Regular coffee, two sugars, extra light. This is not rocket science.
All right,
over
all right. I'm cutting you off. This was a yes or no question. I thought you were just going to say no. I'm not sharing anything off the record. But
when do I do a yes and no answer? Anyway, had a good time with Arians. I told him all my stories. I told the story about the tee shot at Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club that hit the sand crane in the throat that was going across the fairway. And then, you know, the final, I was with Roy Cummings, and the final line as we drove off. Roy, that crane cost me 50 yards off the tee, 50 yards. Christine looked at me and said, Ira, how can you say something like that? You just killed a sand crane. And I looked up at Arians. He was still laughing. He was still laughing. He thought it was the most hysterical thing he's ever seen. And I'll say one more thing, Steve. So much for your yes and no answers. I'll say this. We were talking about golf, and he golfs a lot with his son. You know, father, son, quality time. So, Lee, I don't know anything better. You know, I don't know what kind of strata that Arians deals with over here in golf, but I knew he was pretty good. So, you know, I was getting ready to leave, and I said, hey, do you ever dream about going to Pebble Beach, playing Pebble Beach? Lee, he looked at me. And he said, just played it Sunday, shot an 84. He played Pebble Beach on Masters Sunday.
Is that the course that's on the West Coast that looks out over the Pacific Ocean?
It absolutely is. And you talk about picture perfect. And then, Steve, I said, hey, would you ever want to play Augusta? Yeah, three or four times. Already played it. It's a whole different ball game the way these, you know, the upper half lives, Steve. The upper half.
Look, it's not like you can't match that. I mean, you've been to the best pizza joints in Newport Richey and Port Richey. You know, same thing.
You know, he hasn't been to Gargiulio's in the Coney Island. I got that over, Arians.
All right. Well, Ira, look, I don't want to mislead the listeners. There's no way you told them all your stories because that would be at least 27 hours. Maybe you should write a book of all your stories one day, you know, 20 stories from Ira Kaufman. But I'm glad you were able to reveal about the book on the podcast. I didn't know if you were going to do that, so that's exciting. I'm really happy for you, Ira. And that's going to be pretty cool when you're doing book signings. Like, hey, buddy, I wrote the foreword here. Arians isn't here, but sit down. I'll sign it for you.
You know, hopefully I'll see him Sunday night, you know, at that dinner at Innisbrook. And I'm looking forward to it because they're supposed to have some celebrities. Now, of course, Lee, they got a country and western guy. I don't even remember the guy's name. I thought it might be Bette Midler coming, but I got a little excited. But
Blake
it's not.
Shelton.
No, it's nobody like that. It's not Kenny Chesney. It's not Blake Shelton. It's not Garth Brooks. You can't believe I know three country and western people, Lee.
That is a bit surprising. But to your credit, you did Ken Burns' country music.
You know what? I did, Lee. Steve, what else you got, Stevie? What else?
Well, Ira, I was going to say, I don't know if anybody really calls it country and western anymore, but if somebody wants to Google that, they'll understand what that means. Wow, you are in rare form today, Ira. I don't even know what to say.
you know, you'll appreciate this, Lee. One of the things that I talked to Arians about, you know, we covered a lot of topics. I came in with like 25 different topics to get him talking. I mean, it's a long forward, and, you know, and I got a lot of transcribing to do ahead of me. But
did you just come back to Dunkin' Donuts?
When, today? I'm revved up, Lee. You know, I'm down 3 pounds. I'm revved up. And so, Lee, when it came to the part, you know, the beginnings of the Brady relationship and the whole mm-hmm. door number two, I kept thinking about you, Lee. I kept thinking about you because
Monty Hall.
I brought it up about, you know, getting off the podium at Indianapolis and then going into a separate little gathering.
Of
local Tampa Bay media. He knew everything I was talking about. And I said, that's where you came up with Tom Brady. And I asked him directly, guys. I said, should you have said his name? Could you have gotten in trouble? He just shrugged his shoulder. What are they going to do to me? Come on, what are you talking about?
That's true. And by the way, give credit where credit's due. It was Steve who asked the question, and Arians directly answered him.
Coach, you said regarding a quarterback, you know, you can win with Jameis, but you want to see who else is available. Is it fair to say there is one guy out there that if he was available, you would pick up the phone?
Tom Brady.
Okay, that's a guy.
Outstanding, Isbitz. Outstanding.
So there's your little flashback for you, Ira. There it is. All right, let's move on to Leonard Fournette, Ira, who got on NFL Network the other night, and he talked about how he got his great opportunity, and he sort of got a second chance, and that he had this great comeback and turned it on later in the season, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the story of playoff Lenny, who says he prefers Lombardi Lenny, so we'll go with that. And he did admit, though, they asked him about Giovanni Bernard and the Bucs' competition at running back, and he said it's tough. That was his word. It's tough to keep a healthy attitude amidst great competitive balance. They're all working together. They know that. And Fournette acknowledged that, hey, most teams go by committee, and it's a competitive situation, but, you know, you work together. But he did acknowledge that it's tough, that it's tough to, sort of be rooting for everybody while you're trying to get every single carry.
Fournette's an interesting case, guys. You know, we heard reports that he was in the doldrums in the middle of the season and sitting down with Arians. He told a particular story about Fournette that, Lee, his disenchantment, it ran a little deeper than we think it did. I mean, it was affecting him. At practice, it was affecting him at walkthroughs, and Arians picked up on it, you know, which he does. You know, his eyes are everywhere now that he stepped back a little bit from being as hands-on, Lee, as he used to be, and that's kind of liberating for him. So I think he's a little bit more attuned to the psychology of the players and the body language. And he told this story about Fournette. He didn't say exactly which practice it was, what the date was, but Lee, there was a period of time, no surprise, that he was down in the dumps, and it was affecting him. It was affecting his work habits, and Arians pulled him aside, Lee, and said, basically, you got 30 minutes. You got 30 minutes to get your act together.
Whoa.
Because we're going to start practice in about 30 minutes. And if you come out the same way that I've just seen you in a walkthrough, you might be looking for another team today.
Wow.
That's pretty dramatic, Steve. And of course, we didn't know, and he didn't know at that time that Jones was going to get hurt. And what happened. But here comes Bernard. We just when Fournette shows, you know, that hey, I can catch the ball. I caught 76 balls as a Jaguar the year before you brought me in. I can catch. And here comes Bernard with 8 years of history as a very good receiver out of the backfield. So it's like, you know, another left hook for Fournette. We'll see how he handles it.
Ira, I have to ask you this, and I don't know if Arians told you this or not, informed you, let you in his inner thoughts at all. You mentioned about Fournette, and he's spoken about Fournette before, but not the detail that he told you about. I get the impression that Arians kind of got the vibe from Fournette because in previous years, when he was running the offense, he'd be too hyper-focused, whereas now he's kind of taken a step back, although it seems to be, from what you're saying, he's kind of taken a step back and he's able to oversee more things, maybe observe more things, maybe catch more things. Did he tell you, or has he told you, that he may be a better coach now because he doesn't have to be so hyper-focused on the offense, that he can see the whole lay of the land, so to speak?
I understand what you're saying, Lee. You know what he says? He's a different coach. He's a different coach. And, Steve, another point that I want to make on this podcast after spending extended time with Bruce Arians. Look, we can shrug our shoulders and we can roll our eyes about this, but I thought he was very sincere. He spent a lot of time basically undermining, and sometimes we were guilty of this too, if the word is right about guilty, but he said that this thing about I'm running this offense and Leftwich is a figurehead is absolute nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And, you know, you can take him at your word or you can doubt him. And you can say, Arians is putting this together with Brady behind Leftwich's back and Leftwich isn't doing anything. But I'll tell you what, just sitting across the table from him, he made a very compelling case that Leftwich is in charge of this offense. Leftwich got better with this offense, working with Brady all year long and throwing out things that didn't work and things that Brady didn't want to do as the season went on. And, you know, listening to him, I'm starting to be a believer that this was a very good offense and Leftwich got to get his due.
Well, I hope Arians doesn't take this the wrong way, but it's actually, you know, the people that doubt that Leftwich is all, you know, hands-on as much as Arians says he is. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I hope Arians understands that that's how people how much they respect him. They think, you know, a good coach like you is going to take a step back. You're still going to be involved. And I think when people say that, that's also a modicum of how much people respect Arians and his acumen for football and for offense and for developing quarterbacks, et cetera, et cetera.
Very fair point, Lee. If Arians' expertise was on the defensive side of the ball, this wouldn't even be an issue. Yeah, nobody'd be talking about that. That's well said, Lee.
Yeah, very well said, Lee. Very well said. I'll put it out this way as well. I got to throw some of that on Leftwich. He simply does not do national interviews of any sort. Even after the season, Todd Bowles, who's kind of mild-mannered and is a little bit checked out, he's done interviews with CBS about, you know, being a head coach and other stuff like that. He did an interview with Josina Anderson and a couple more. Leftwich invisible. So you sort of see a guy who, I think the perception is, Leftwich isn't interested in raising his profile. And the perception continues that he's not interested because he's not really high profile, that he's sort of in the back anyway. So I believe that it's not true. I believe that from all the stuff we've heard and listened to and people who know Leftwich and others, I was just listening to Alex Boone the other day on NFL radio talking about how Leftwich is just brilliant. And they didn't even ask him about Leftwich. He was just talking about his 1 year with him and all that stuff. And, you know, he played for Arians for a year, Boone did. And
maybe he suffers a bit because he's not a self-promoter, Steve. He's not a self-promoter.
Nope.
And maybe that hurts you in this environment.
Maybe I harp on this way too much. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I'm probably guilty of that. But when he's asked a simple question in one of his weekly press conferences, when it's laid out for him how much better Brady is on play-action passes, and he's asked, why don't you use more play-action passes? And his response is, to be honest with you, I don't know. Well, you know, come on. You say stuff like that, why would anybody think that Arians is not involved?
Right. No question
gotcha.
About it.
Gotcha. Ira, you know how we love to talk about Florida's Elite Restoration here on the podcast. Your first call, if you have any kind of disaster, water, mold, fire, whatever it is in your home, they're going to take care of you immediately. Florida'sElitereStoration.com, free assessment. And that's what you need, someone you can trust at that time. But our good buddy there, Josh Martin, as we were recording, Ira, he texted me, wrote to me, hey, suppose we give out a big gift from Florida's Elite Restoration, maybe a couple of big gift cards to people who come out to the draft party for Big Storm so they can enjoy themselves another time or get a free night out. And let me make it official right here, right now, Ira, we are giving away $250 gift cards at the draft party. Two of them. Two $250 gift cards, American Express gift cards, courtesy of Florida's Elite Restoration, to people who attend the draft party. Big Storm Clearwater, Thursday night, April 29th, indoor-outdoor seating right there on 49th Street. So how about that, Sage? First one, we'll pass out some, raffle tickets kind of thing and call some numbers. And then we're also going to do a pick-the-pick contest, a pick-the-draft-pick contest. We'll have some tiebreakers in there, but let's see if someone is smart enough to pick that Buccaneers first-round pick. Again, we'll have some tiebreakers, and that will get another $250 gift card from Florida's Elite Restoration. They didn't have to do it, but that's what Florida's Elite Restoration is. They go the extra mile. What do you think of that, Ira?
I think that's a class move by Josh. Look, when it comes to Florida's Elite Restoration, Steve, we know of what we speak, and here's what I mean. First of all, we know Josh, and we've met his crew. It's not like these are anonymous people. We know who they are. We've met them in person. And number two, and maybe more importantly, Steve, you and I both know people that have had work done by Florida's Elite Restoration on multiple occasions with mold issues, and they can't speak more highly of the operation. So when we, when we talk up Florida's Elite Restoration, Lee, it's not like this is some kind of a, mysterious organization we don't know anything about, and they're a sponsor, but we don't really know them. It's not like that. Florida's Elite Restoration, number one solution to any mold issues you might have, major, minor, get your assessment and call them, Steve, before you call your insurance company.
They're awesome. I'm fired up. Well, Sage, the Fournette comment and your comment as well and insight sort of leads me to a comment Marshawn Lynch made this week on ESPN Plus. Now, Marshawn Lynch said he was talking with Tom Brady and the Bucs in the past year about returning to the NFL. But here's the catch. Last year, Lynch told ESPN around April or May that he was trying to get back in the league, or his agent put it out, one of the two. So it's possible that he was talking to the Bucs back then in May or in that neighborhood. But in December, he also went on Conan O'Brien's late night show and said that he was, considering a return if the situation was right. Now, around December 10th, I believe, was the time when Ronald Jones got hurt. So we don't really know if he was talking to the Bucs a year ago or he was talking to them for the stretch run. And, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's interesting, but I think by December, Lee, my sense is that Fournette had gotten with the program, had turned his head around. I don't think it lingered into December necessarily. I thought Arians was talking more about maybe the middle of the season when Jones was doing particularly well, very well, and Fournette wasn't doing very much. So I don't see the Lynch angle necessarily bringing in a guy off the street, Lee, in December. I think that's a stretch.
Well, also, if I recall correctly, when Arians did bring in guys off the street in the latter part of the year, it was generally guys that had played for him in a previous life, that, the learning curve would be minimal, if any at all. They could plug them right in. Now, you might have been able to find guys better. The guy's name is Casey, the guard, who was horrible in his only start. He's from Palm Harbor. He played for Arians.
Ted Larson there.
He actually played the second time around with the Bucs, but he played for Arians in Arizona. And that's just one example that he already knew the offense, and the learning curve, if there even was one, was minimal. So they could plug him right in, which is what they did. He was terrible. So I don't know if Lynch was necessarily familiar with his offense. And I got to be honest with you, I don't exactly trust Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if he was pulling someone's leg or not, saying that Brady called him up and he was talking with the Bucs. How do we know that's true? To me, that's as dubious as Gronkowski saying, oh, yeah, Edelman's coming to the box, 69% chance.
Yeah, you're right. I understand what Marshawn Lynch told the national audience, but he doesn't have a lot of credibility. I'm with the Kemper on this one. Who knows how much of what he said is true, how much of it is exaggerated. I mean, just think of it. Bringing a running back in, in the fourth quarter of a season that doesn't know your offense, has never played for Arians, never played for Leftwich, no connection with Brady necessarily. doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'm a little dubious about Mr. Lynch and his connection to the Bucks.
I got you, Ira. I was just going to, you know, to add intrigue to the conspiracy folks. When Lynch did say that to the national audience, it was December 10th, a few days after Fournette was benched, right before the Bucks bye week. So, yeah, we can only wonder. And it'll be funny if somebody asked Tom Brady about that at some point, and he says, "What are you talking about?" So that would be classic. All right, Ira, as we march toward the draft here, a dozen days away or so, and of course we are fired up to be out there at Big Storm Brewing Company, hanging out with fans, enjoying the draft indoors and outdoors, 49th Street and Clearwater. Have you had any shift, any thoughts, any changes to your mindset on what the Bucks are going to do in the draft? A lot of rumblings about going quarterback, you know, that and Lee wrote something about Peter Schrager talking about how, you know, his vibe across the many people he talks to. And, you know, he's well connected, obviously working for NFL Network now on top of what he did before, that he's getting a sense that the league thinks the Bucks will take a quarterback. When, who knows? Do you have any new thoughts about the draft?
My thoughts are changing a little bit, because the more I think about it and the unique position that Light's in. And Lee, I took a peek ahead at 2022 and the off season, Lee, not the draft, the off season. And Lee, there's 9 or 10 guys, and a lot of them are key players. I mean, key players, you know, guys like Godwin and Ronald Jones and guys like that. Jensen, Sue, JPP. I mean, big-time players whose contracts are going to be out, Lee. They're going to be out. And, you know, you can't hit a home run every offseason and bring back guys, and you may not want to bring back some of these guys a year from now, not at the price they want to play at, or they might retire in certain cases. And Brady is going to be like freaking 45 by the start of the 2022 season. So, Lee, in that regard, they got to move back. They got to accumulate picks. The more picks you have, and everybody says this from Polian to Pioli, the more picks you have, your percentages of hitting some are going to go up. I can't see them moving up for one particular player on the board and giving up a second-round pick just to move up from 32 to 13. I can't see that, because that guy's probably not going to start. As far as quarterback is concerned, Lee, I mean, you know, is it a big deal if they pick a guy in the fourth round? I mean, is that a big deal? It's a developmental quarterback that Arians looks at some film and says, you know, maybe with this guy, maybe not. Let's be honest, Lee. By the time that guy starts, barring an injury to Brady, Arians is probably out of here as the head coach. He probably is. He probably leaves with Brady. Would anybody be shocked? Probably be shocked if that didn't happen. So, you know, Arians ain't going to be coaching here 8 years from now. I don't think he's too worried about developing the next quarterback. That's where Light comes in, supposed to take the long-range view, the general manager. You know, I don't see the Bucks sticking at 32 and taking a quarterback. I don't see it, Lee. That guy is not going to contribute in any way unless Brady is down. And that's the doomsday scenario that nobody even wants to think about. So, Lee, they take a quarterback in the fourth round. Is it that big a deal? No, it's not that big a deal. You know what Ron Wolf used to do? He's in the Hall of Fame. I'm taking a quarterback every year in the draft. I'm taking a quarterback. That's what he did.
He also had a stable, didn't he?
You know, yeah, he had a stable. And his idea was, you know, I could trade them at a later date. The Bucks don't use that strategy, but it ain't a bad strategy.
No, I mean, not that he drafted him, but for a while there he had Jim McMahon as the backup. Obviously he had Kurt Warner. He always had a stable of quarterbacks.
I think he had Mark Brunell, Lee. I think he had also Mark Brunell, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Doug Peterson was a backup to Favre for a while there. He always had a stable of running or quarterbacks. He really did. That's a very interesting point. You know, that's what makes this draft so delicious. There's so many ways they can go. By the way, you're absolutely right, Ira. There's a lot of guys, including virtually their entire backfield, and their contracts are up after the 2021 season. But with the salary cap expected to go up next year, and, you know, Tom Brady is such a magnet for free agents and veterans to play for. We heard Giovanni Bernard go, he was over the top about Brady earlier this week. I'm not really sweating. I'm not really sweating all these one-year contracts. Yeah, it sucked to lose Godwin. I still think they'll find a way to keep him. But with so many people wanting to play for Brady and probably like with more Team Glazer loot to play with, I'm not really sweating that much. I'm sweating more that they lose Bolt. And I know Steve just had a cold sweat breakout. But but I'm more worried about that than anything. But that's what makes this draft, just the best word I can use is delicious, is drama. You have no idea. And whoever the Bucks pick, you can make an argument for. When I say whoever, what I mean by that is whatever position they go with. If they go with quarterback, okay, you can make a logical argument why they would be draft quarterback,
right.
Running back.
Right.
Even though they have so many guys, you can say, well, look, their top three running backs are all their contracts expire. Just by any position, you could point to and say, you know, okay, that makes sense. So it's a kid in the candy store kind of thing with the draft coming up as far as the Bucks are concerned, because life could go so many ways, and he could be right.
You're absolutely right, Lee. And Steve, the contrast from last year couldn't be more broad. A year ago, what were we saying 2 weeks before the draft? They got to get a right tackle. There's four of them. They got to get one of them. By hook or crook, we didn't know Wirfs was going to be spectacular. But they got to get Becton. They got to get Thomas. They got to get Wirfs. They got to get Wills. They got to get one of those four guys. And you know what? That's the way Light was thinking. That was Light's whole approach to the 2020 draft. I got to get a right tackle. And this year, Steve, it's totally different. Totally different. And Lee says a kid in a candy store. Maybe I'm wrong, Steve, but I think the most unlikely scenario is the Bucks moving up in the first round. I think that's unlikely.
I got a question for you, Ira. This is not draft related, but you mentioned his name. You invoked his name. Tristan Wirfs. Well, this week, Greg Rosenthal, good guy, NFL.com, he did his ranking of the top general managers with the draft. And boy, what winning the Super Bowl does for a man's career and his reputation. Light was always in the bottom tier of general managers, no matter how you spun it. You know, that's just the way it is when you don't win. And all of a sudden, he puts together a Super Bowl team, and Rosenthal ranked him number three. Well, in that ranking of number three, you know, Rosenthal would have best draft picks. And for Light's best draft pick since he's been with the Bucks, Rosenthal picked not Mike Evans, who may be a Hall of Famer, but Tristan Wirfs. I want your reaction to that, Ira.
That's interesting, Lee. I'll tell you why I would disagree with Rosenthal. If he had moved up to number four and taken Wirfs ahead of those other three tackles, then that's a brilliant maneuver by Light. That's brilliant. So the fact, Lee, that Wirfs was the last man standing in terms of the right tackle prospects, he did move up one spot. I understand that. But Wirfs could have been gone very easily before the Bucks picked. So in that respect, Lee, he was the last guy, and Light took him. He moved up one spot and he took him. Good move, but it's not like, you know, a brilliant chess move. Like, I got to have this guy Wirfs. I got him. He's much better than these other three guys, and I got to move up and get him. That, to me, would have catapulted the Wirfs pick above Mike Evans. Because, Lee, what I'm saying essentially is when Wirfs was still standing there, that pick was easy. I got to take Wirfs.
Ira,
I can't vault him ahead of Mike Evans.
I thought you were going to say any of these fans sitting in the upper deck could have picked Wirfs at that point.
But, Steve, he did move up a notch because I think it was San Francisco maybe that he was worried about. But you know what? If San Francisco was going to take Wirfs, I think they wouldn't have made the deal with the Bucks. They would have taken Wirfs. So, look, it turned out to be a great pick. But the fact is, Steve, you know my point. He's the best out of the four, but he was the fourth out of the four that was taken. So, you know, great pick, but I can't lift it over the Evans pick.
And I'm not taking away from Jason Light's pick. General managers panic all the time, and they didn't panic, and they got the best right tackle in the draft and maybe in the game. So, you know, they win, and it's an interesting take by Rosenthal there. It's one of those fun debates. Ira, going back to the quarterback, though, I like to put you in the mind of Team Glazer, since I know you're constantly harassing them until they pick up the phone. And that's chapter 18 of your book, Ira, of Glazer stories.
Capturing the Glazers, yeah.
Yeah. So, Sage, again, the Glazers, their number one goal, of course, they want to win another Super Bowl. Of course, they want to make money. But I think their number one goal outside of those basics is keeping Tom Brady on the team as long as possible. I mean, the Glazers want the guy to play until he's 50. As long as he can be okay, you know, they'll that's what they would like. And I think a lot of Bucks fans would enjoy that too. But I'm going to throw this out there, and you tell me if I'm completely nuts, if this is any factor whatsoever. Don't you think the one thing outside of his internal fire that burns greater than any NFL player in history, don't you think the one thing at this point that would really take Brady's motivation to another notch would be a talented rookie on the roster?
I understand what you're saying. Steve, before I will address that, Lee, you haven't heard this story. This will be chapter 18. But, you know, our listeners love these little personal stories.
Yeah.
Especially, Lee, when I don't look particularly good in these stories. That's another part of it. True story, gentlemen. This is about 12 years ago. And you're not going to believe this, but the NFL meetings, which are usually either in Florida or Arizona, they decided to go to Maui, gentlemen, the Ritz-Carlton, Maui. And I think it was maybe 2007 and 8 or 8, because the reason I say that is the Tribune had some money. Lee, the Trib had money at that time. They were sending me everywhere. I was going to training camp to the Falcons and the Panthers, and we were spending money. Well, they sent me to Maui, Mr. DeKemper. And, you know, every year Joe Glazer would talk at the NFL meetings. And I'm not sure he would talk to everybody. I think he was just talking to me at that point, which was beautiful for the Tribune. And, Lee, true story, we're in the bar area, Ritz-Carlton, Maui, and I sit down. I got my 15 minutes of fame with Joe Glazer. I turn my tape recorder on, Lee. The batteries are dead. Batteries are dead. Didn't check them. No batteries. So Joe looks at me and says, all right, I guess you're going to have to take it down by hand. I don't have a pen with me, DeKemper. No pen. No pencil. Joe Glazer looks at me, absolutely in astonishment, and says, you got to be kidding me. And he gets out of his chair. And my wife was at the bar area. She's sipping a martini. And I got Joe Glazer gets out of his chair and asks the bartender for a pen and brings it back to the table and says, here, this is how you do an interview, Ira. Here's the pen. So that's one of my favorite Glazer stories. But, Steve, to your point.
Wait a minute. You can't just move on from that, Ira. It's the Ritz-Carlton. Don't they have like a little gift shop where you can get gum and batteries and you're back in 3 minutes? Come on. What is this?
I didn't get a chance. He sprung out of his seat like Tristan Wirfs jumping out of a pool. I never seen anything like it. He hopped out of his seat, and the next thing I know, he's hobnobbing with, George behind the bar over there, and says, George, you got a pen for my friend over here? He's a reporter. He doesn't have a pen on him. You know, total embarrassment, gentlemen. Total embarrassment, but like a trooper, I got through it, and I took my notes by longhand, and, those were the years, 2008, that Gruden was hanging on by a thread, and I reported. I never blinked. No tape recorder, no pen. Got it done.
I had a similar problem, Ira, once, and I'm not going to mention who it was, because the guy still lives in the same position he's still in. It was maybe 3 years ago. Heavy hitter in the NFL. And it was going to be off-the-record interview. We're going to have a couple beers. And I said, well, can I at least take notes? You know, pen and notebook? Yeah, you can bring a notebook, but I better not see any of your notes anywhere on the internet. No, it won't happen. I just want to take notes because I know it's going to be a while. And we're going to have beers, so I want to take notes. So I show up. I forget my notebook. But, enterprising Lee DeKemper, I've got my cell phone. So I opened up a piece of software on the cell phone, and I took notes, and I said, just so you know, I'm not texting anybody. I'll let you look at my texts. I'll let you look at my phone. I promise you, nice. I'm not emailing anyone. I'm not texting anyone. I'm just taking notes. And those notes had to go back to the software a couple days ago, last night, actually. And they're still there.
Steve, I felt sure he was going to tell me that he was scribbled it on a cocktail napkin. I felt sure.
Well, Ira, when you mentioned Maui, I thought you were going to tell that story about you and the hula skirt and the Mai Tais, but I will save that for another podcast, Sage. but while everybody thinks of that, they can shop at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, that's the family name, BillCurryFord.com, a 60-year Tampa tradition, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. GM Sean Sullivan, where else can you go and get personal private service from a general manager of a major dealership? Sean's going to help you in person, on the phone, whatever you need. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount, the Joe Bucks fan discount, the Sean Sullivan draft guru discount, whatever you want to ask for. He's going to help you out and really just answer your questions and help you like he would a good friend. And that's what they do at Bill Curry Ford. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaseliterestoration.com. That's where you go if you have any disaster in your home. You go there first. You call them up. They're going to answer 24/7. They'll respond. They'll come out, give you a free assessment, as we talked about earlier. floridaseliterestoration.com. Don't mess around. Call them right away before you call your insurance company. Licensed mold remediation specialists, floridaseliterestoration.com. Sage, we're also fired up for the draft party, as people have been seeing on joebucksfan.com. Big Storm beer. Drink it all day long. Well, not all day long, but every day. And, of course, so many great beers. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, but you didn't really answer my question, so I'm going to go back to that. Do you think the Glazers have any interest to get a quarterback in here? It'll fire up Tom. We saw what happened in New England when he got all fired up and when his territory seemed to be encroached upon by Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't want him there, and he was extra motivated, and maybe Robert Kraft told them, hey, that's your best thing to do for Tom. Get a quarterback in there, fire him up. Do you think there's any of that going on, or am I off the walls here?
I don't see the same dynamic. I'll tell you why. Because of the two head coaches involved. I think towards the end, Lee, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think maybe even the last 4 or 5 years of Brady's tenure in New England, I'm not sure he always felt that Belichick had his back, Lee. I think he knew that Kraft did, and I dare say that Kraft didn't want Brady to leave, and I still think he was waiting for Belichick to say something positive about him, and it never happened, and that hurt. That really hurt Brady, and I don't blame him. So, Steve, I think the Glazers are like Buck fans at this point and are like Bruce Arians at this point. They just won a Super Bowl with Brady. He's still playing at a high level. The next quarterback it's not the last thing on their minds, Lee, but I just don't think it's at the forefront. I don't think Ed Glazer hits those satin sheets in California thinking about, hey, what are we going to do life beyond Brady? I just don't think that discussion has much sway at One Buck Place. You could argue that it should, but they just won the Super Bowl with Brady. He's going to be here for another year or two, and I don't think getting a quarterback in and then all of a sudden Brady's going to think he's in a competitive situation. Come on, Lee. That's not feasible, that you're going to shake up Tom Brady by bringing in Kyle Trask. That's not feasible. And Steve, for the 111th time on these podcasts, I must beg to differ.
Any thoughts at all? Any thoughts at all on the Bucks bringing back two guys, part of the great depth that they had, both guys who played more than 20% of the snaps last season, kind of quietly considering that they joined the team late, but defensive tackle Steve McClendon and cornerback Ross Cockrell.
Good depth, and I know the Bucks, specifically Todd Bowles, think the world of McClendon. And I was under the impression McClendon was going to call it a career, but he obviously likes playing for Bowles. Bowles really likes him. He's nice depth. And just this past week, VSPN spreadsheeter tweeted about how many snaps the backups of the Bucks had on defense. And I just did some quick 2 plus 2 equals 4, that all these backups getting so many snaps, that kind of probably led the defense playing so good in the postseason after they got through with Washington, you know, they probably had fresher legs. That and a late bye.
Lee, you've had a very strong podcast, the Kemper. Very
maybe
strong. Yeah, the Vermosa has something to do with it. And another great point, Steve, by the Kemper in terms of depth. Steve, we've been doing this podcast 5 years. I don't care if we were doing it for 15 years. We would never be talking about depth on the Bucks. We'd be saying, Jesus Christ, they got five starters they got to replace. Now we're talking about depth. They have it. Nunez, Roaches, and McClendon behind the two starters on the interior D-line. Stinney, they don't miss a beat. Aaron Stinney, are you kidding me? That's a great move by Light. That's not a move that Byron Leftwich came up with or even Arians. You know, Light scouted this guy. And his guy said, spy tech or whatever, and let's go pick him up. He can help us. All of a sudden, the depth, the running backs, they got four guys. You know, I think Vaughn could even be a player. They might have four viable running backs. We know about the tight ends and the receivers. We're never going to be here again, gentlemen. We might as well enjoy it. Raise the glass, Buck fans. You ain't never had it this good.
Randy Mueller, maybe you know him. He's been a suit in the NFL for a long time.
Yes.
He's unemployed now. So what do unemployed GMs do? They fire up their own podcast. And he was on a podcast, him and Mike Sando. You know Mike Sando, I know. And Mueller was talking about Bernard. And he basically said, I'm paraphrasing here, he basically said Bruce Arians doesn't know what he just signed. That he's going to find out this guy has an every down back with juice. And he all but said, don't be shocked if Bernard is the Bucks' number one running back by the end of the year.
That's why Randy Mueller is unemployed. I think that's ludicrous, barring injury. Barring injury, I think it's ludicrous. Look, I know Bernard's game. I mean, you know, I've been seeing this guy for 8 years. He's a useful back. He's useful. But I don't think he's anything extra carrying the ball as a running back. In other words, he's very good out in space with the ball. And there's a reason that Mixon came in and was the starter. Now, look, Mixon's a good player. There's no question about it. But so is Ronald Jones. So is Ronald Jones. Before he got hurt, he was easily going to have a 1,000-yard season, if not quite a bit more. Fournette came on strong. So, Steve, barring injury to those two, I don't think there's any way Bernard beats both of them out as the number one back on first and second down. Randy Mueller, you stick to your podcast, buddy. You ain't getting back in the league as a GM.